I will check on that. Okay. And okay. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, the 7th of August, 2012. Please join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Public comments. This is an opportunity where members of the public can address the board regarding a topic on today's agenda. Is there anyone like to comment? Okay, seeing no one. The minutes for this week, we will defer to a later time, so we'll not consider them at this time. So we'll move on down to consideration of personnel action under item number 5. We have.
Okay. I'll move approval of personnel actions.
And I will second it. It's been moved and seconded the approval of the personnel action. I hear no further comments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel action is approved. Okay. On the consent agenda, we need to add additional road closures. Number 1313, 134, and utility permit number 1320. Okay. All other items are good to go.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second. It's been moved and second the approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Okay. All right. Item 7, no public hearing, no additional items, other reports. So we come down to agency report, item number 10. Welcome, Department of Human Service, Pat Penning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know that I have a lot to report today. We have not had a lot of change except in our staffing. We were able to fill those two social work positions that have been vacant for some period of time. We actually had two people transfer in that would have been in the former Ames service area when it was the other, this upper area.
Move that a little bit closer
here,
in front of
me. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. I could.
So you see their names here, Sean Goodson and Tradian Hammonds. I believe one started last Friday, and I think one starts this Friday. So they'll be in our office here then. Group care, we continue on to be a little higher than we should be in our whole service area. The DCAT, as you all know, we have a new DCAT coordinator. Caitlin has started. And
give me that name again because I tried to remember it this morning.
Caitlin, oh, geez, now you're going to text me, Hofeldt. H-O-F-E-L-D-T. And she actually prepared part of this report, so she's taking over Ann's duties very well. And as for the ECI part, Marion Cressy has been hired for that. So I think they have both started and are housed in the community services building over there. So Caitlin's doing, I think, doing a good job trying to catch on to all the things that are going on. We do have some dollars that we've, as you can see, the contracts that we have going out here, I was able to transfer some dollars in from surplus from last year's child welfare dollars. And actually that was from a statewide sharing of all the service areas because we actually a little over budget here within our service area. Just one thing I did want to highlight this month because school is starting, and I did send out the with this the report, I sent the a pamphlet for food assistance for students, because the students, as we normally in our service area, see an increase of probably about 1,000 applications in the month of August because of all the schools starting in our various counties. So I wanted you to see the eligibility requirements for students, because they are eligible even though they are not maybe year-round residents in a place. They can get food assistance, and they may also be eligible for Medicaid. Those they can apply online just like anyone else. We just want everybody to be aware of that in case those needs arise. People can certainly choose to make those applications. They do have to be working at least 20 hours a week, can be self-employed, or they anticipate going to work. So that is part of the requirement as well as going to school. But everybody.
How long can that anticipation be?
That's a good question. I think they would have to, kind of like unemployment, I suppose you have to be showing that you're making a good faith effort, or maybe there's a work study that's going to start and they can show us some proof of that or something. I don't think it would go for the entire school year, though.
Right, that's what I was questioning, is whether a person could test.
Do you have any questions for me?
You say the requirements here, do they apply directly to your office? Is that something that's done at the school?
No, they can apply online. We do online. Have the OASIS application online, or they can come into the office and apply.
Does the school send out any information regarding this at the time of registration that you know of?
That I don't know.
So this is handled, this is a little bit different than students who might be on reduced lunch rates and so forth like
right,
that.
Right, because these are federal after high school.
Right. Oh, okay, gotcha.
What I was referring to here.
Right, sure. Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you. No, just... as we get into the new year, we're all looking forward to trying to see what's going to happen in this whole arena of redesign and what roles DHS is going to play. And so we'll.
My staff wait that anxiously as well to see how that affects the work that they do and where they can refer their clients. So I'm sure there'll be some changes ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Seeing you. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving down then, next is. Departmental report, IRVM. Welcome, Joe.
Where's Rick at? This is kind of for him.
Well, why don't you just sit it there and we'll just leave it there until he gets back.
Well, I really don't have a lot to report today. We've been doing a lot of this.
Please get... No. I'll take a picture of that a little bit later and send it to him.
This is my audio and visual.
Okay.
All right.
It actually looks like you, to be honest, a little bit.
Appreciate that. My wife said my pants were getting kind of too snug. I don't know what she meant by that this morning. Maybe. I don't know. Are you trying to tell me something? All right. Want me to start in the middle, the end, or the beginning?
Your show.
Any questions?
Your show.
It's been really weird weather. 23 years of doing this. I can't really recall a spring and summer like this one. It's just kind of crazy. It's a little tough to work in. Hang on here. What do you want to learn about today, Bobcats? There we go. I only have about 10 slides. Okay. So... can we see that?
Okay.
You mentioned the road closures, and you know that's not the best picture in the world. It's not very glamorous when you go out. We went out yesterday, the day before, but have you noticed a lot of color out there this year? The prairie plants, by the way, have done great. It's been dry out there, but if you drive, say, Lincoln Highway between here and Ames, or 580th, the Breckies Road, you know that's just close to Nevada. Things are looking really good. We're thinking that the seed germination for, you know, we do a lot of seed harvest, isn't going to be that bad. The grasses are going to take a hit, but I think the flowers are going to do well. Earlier, you mentioned road closures. The road department, Darren and his crew, have been doing a lot of work out there. And I think I mentioned this to you, Paul, early on, and a lot of it's been down in the Collins area. And that's kind of what it looks like, little divots here and there, where they're trying to improve drainage, narrow up the road in some aspects, put a culvert in, but it's our job and has been our job for years to plant this and look how it, you know, look on the right, you can see it's getting kind of weedy out there. Whether you plant it or not, the weeds are going to come. And so that's why we have this. We have that boom mower, and that's why I brought the little Tyke mower in. We, every day, every chance we get, we've been out mowing. And you can't always get into the right of way, so you try to get this boom mower in there to get it done. And you can see the other side of that, say, the little Massey Ferguson and the flail mower. We bought that flail mower off Harold Franson, by the way, in 1988. So it's getting its use. I think it's earned its $1,000 that we bought it for back then. But that particular area would be part, well, that looks a little bit like R38. But if you remember the Skunk River Bridge by McFarland Park, that whole area, any of that construction, all that really should be mowed before winter hits, just to help the seedlings grow. We've had a few breakdowns. The mower, that's the boom mower, broke a shaft. So we've been keeping that going. Thanks for putting Teasel in there, too, Tyler. I wanted to show you guys, last time I reported on poison hemlock, and that plant's out there. You know, Canada thistle's kind of been taking a second to a lot of other plants. And Teasel is one of them. And I think my mother used this thing as a dry arrangement on the table. Does it look familiar? Can you see the one on the right? That is a bugger. If you go out east, drive the interstate, you'll see it everywhere. And down in Missouri, actually. Well, it's all around us. But Iowa's keeping it under control at the moment. Probably should mention you haven't seen the contract yet, because I don't have it, but as soon as I do, the B&W control specialist out of Algona will come into the northern section of the county. As you can see there, Howard, Warren, Lincoln, and Sherman, if we have enough funding, they won't go past our $30,000. They will go up to that amount, but not to exceed. And we're going to whittle away. They are going to go out with four-wheelers and hit the brush. We have a really good contract going. They do a great job. Some of those particulars are they don't spray in front of residences, just, you know, up to the property line.
How about notification? Do we do any notification at the time to property owners?
Well, we're covering four townships. We could do an article in the paper. We have not in the past, Wayne. I'd let the board know that we do go online and look at the sensitive crop list.
Okay.
And we do contact those people. Any grape producer, anybody who's on the list. If you're not on the list, we don't know you exist. But we do contact those by phone, the Chumlins up there by McCallsburg, organic farmers.
Right.
You know, ask them where they're at, and we mark those areas out, and our contractors aren't so, you know, that they're not supposed. That's a no fly zone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it would probably help if we would just include some additional notification
okay.
on the website, and that might be something be coordinated either through whichever they would go to, whether it's under the conservation or it's under secondary roads.
I think
so
just a notice in the paper.
Yeah, would help. And while I'm on that subject, going back to your first picture where you were showing with the boom out there, being part of our county safety committee, what safety features are identified there? I didn't see any lights. I didn't see any signs. Some distance away indicating road work ahead or crew. I'm a little curious as to why we don't have some form of notification, early warning that there's a large, you know, structure there on the roadway that people need to be aware of.
Well, there's a rotary light on top of that, but I think when I got off and took a picture, maybe the rotary light's not on.
Okay.
So we have what most of our slow-moving vehicles, it does have a slow-moving vehicle sign on the back.
Back, okay.
Standard operating procedure would be to have this slow-moving vehicle sign and have our hazard lights blinking and the rotary, the DOT specified rotary light on top.
Right.
And I ran this thing yesterday, and they're all operating, and that would be our operating procedure. Now, We do in areas, say, if you're on a hard surface road, Wayne, if we were on S-27, we're at Tilley, right. We would actually have a car behind us.
Okay.
Or, I mean, a pickup with added lights, but not a sign, just lights, you know, 200 yards back or wherever the best spot for them would be on the hit, depending on the terrain, to let vehicles know.
And, Joe, one of the reasons that this question has just popped up in my mind is we had a crew right. out here on Lincoln Way here last week or so doing some work across Lincoln Way, and it just appeared as if there wasn't enough what I call safety factors factored in. We were actually working, the roads wasn't blocked off on one lane, so cars, we were just kind of hitting and missing there, and it just struck me as maybe an area that we need to think about in terms of when we do that, safety of our employees and our workers that are out there, because I could see somebody, you know, not being as alert as they need to be and causing some potential injury.
You're on the right track. One of our mowers did get hit last year. You know, it had all the warning devices on it, and one of ours did get hit from the back. The lights these days are coming out are better and better every year. You know, people are getting onto that. They are a little pricey, but with that, I think we ought to maybe amp that up a little bit and get some of these LED lights on the back of our units out there. I'll make a note of that.
Okay.
Yeah, enough, that we have orange vests on. You know, we do.
Right.
We're not. They're not orange. They're kind of what I call chartreuse, green. I don't know. That's a Southern Iowa term. I got a dictionary of Southern Iowa terms. Weed complaints, I'm not going to go into them much. I mean, they're out there. People call in, mad at their neighbor. But for the most part, we are the ones that see most of the problems out there and call people up. We did send out some letters. We didn't find anybody. But I'll tell you this, it's hard to find a private contractor to go out and let's just say you own 8 acres of something, a hobby farmer, to find someone to actually help that person control weeds. They want the county to do it, but we just don't have the time or the resources. That's one of our hurdles, is to try to find people to go help our spray contractors to help some of the landowners get their problem underway. Well, I guess before I go into drainage ditch stuff, I will say that we did have a Living Roadway Trust Fund meeting a month ago, and it was the grant review process, so we did get a few grants through there. I'd like to report. One was $10,000 for 20 acres of seed, and that's no county dollars matched. That's just in-house labor. We also received a few, personal protection, you're talking safety, some burn clothes, you know, wildland fire protective equipment. I'm trying to think the other two. One was software for our spray rig. And the last one was to kind of upgrade that old mower we had from Harold Franson. It's a half bat wing, okay, not a full bat wing mower. A half bat wing. We got $9,000, but at some point, we'll approach the board possibly for the other five that it would take to fill that. There's a match that we had to do about a third to get that grant to pass.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, on the grant that you just mentioned, make sure that information is forwarded to the auditor's office. Each year when the auditors meet with us, they asked about any grants that Story County has on record and so forth. So we would just want to be able to document that this is the one.
The conservation director, Mike Cox, hit me up with that before I think I left the door that day. So we're online. With that, I'd like to introduce the new vegetation management specialist. We filled that position. It was a new position. And we interviewed and hired Tyler Kelly from Marshall County. We let him come over this way from Marshall. Worked great for us for 5 years as a seasonal. And he's going to clue you in a little bit on what he's been doing the last month and more importantly, what we expect to be doing in a timeline of what we call late summer and in through the fall. Early fall would be before the leaves fall off the trees. Go for it, Tyler.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
During the past month, inventory and assessment of problem vegetation in Story County's drainage ditch system has been a continuous process. Preparing and calibrating equipment along with product research is in the works. The billing and tracking system associated with increased vegetation management in the county's drainage districts is in place. The open ditch vegetation inventory is not completed. However, after discussions involving the Story County engineer, road maintenance superintendent, and tile foreman and drainage district trustees, a plan of action for the fall of 2012, late summer, has been set into motion. Foliar application using herbicide label for drainage ditch use began last week on small brush. Work hours will be distributed evenly across the county with seven drainage districts to be prioritized this late summer. Open ditches and tile outlets intakes will be targeted as conditions dictate. Other projects may be added to the list as recommendations come in and ground truthing continues.
So, what's that mean, Tyler?
Pretty much, I've just been spending a lot of time on the ground, driving through fields, trying to get a grasp on what we can control this late summer with this foliar application. There's a lot of work out there. Some of it we can do. Some of it we might have to log out, do some other work. But we're looking for that to be in fall and winter hours. Right now, we're just focusing on this foliar spray for the trees under 15 feet.
15 feet or less, about a little taller than the ceiling, obviously. And
you can control those up to that height with spray.
Yep.
That's kind of where we're at with that. And he has a list of seven or eight drainage districts that we're going to work in, but I didn't think you want to go through each one.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
But we'll have that list for you folks, and if at any point you want to or have an idea or get some input from the public on what we could do, obviously you can forward that to Tyler, and you know that's how we'll work it. But
okay. Thank you. Amen.
This is a picture right here of last winter's work. We went in with basal bark through the months of December and early January. And the basal bark treatment is when you hack at the stump and then you treat it with an oil-based herbicide. And as you can see, we got pretty good control with the 15-footers, but there's still some understory brush that we're still going to have to go in and foliar treat. This is Richland 81, so this is another one of the projects we're going to have to go back and do another in step two process. There's a lot more work to do, and obviously with this zero rain we're getting, you can tell we're a lot of silt and some other stuff's backing up into our open ditches.
That's it.
Have we received any communication yet from any of the landowners? Are they noticing the work that is being done?
Not that I'm aware of. We just started actually last week getting into the field. It's been warm. But I would suspect if they read the board minutes and things and the word gets around, it's going to, I don't think it's going to be exponential, but, I mean, people are going to start coming to us.
Right.
We're hoping that's the case.
Right.
They come to you, and you can throw them to us. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anything else? All right. Good. Okay.
Shelly wants to see you.
Shelly wants to.
Now there's a trap door right there.
And well, you might need something to play with at home if your wife kicks you out. Okay. All righty. All right, moving on then to community life program, Gayla Harkin.
Any visual aids, Gayla? Nobody ever wants to go after Joe.
I know. be a cost, sort of a deal we could work out if you'd like to do mine?
Well,
okay. Okay, cool. Let me get all my papers organized here. I think that I sent forward to you a copy of the fourth quarter report that I wanted to go over briefly. I just want to hit the high points because there's really no point in belaboring all the rest. I think some of the notable things here would be that from the fourth quarter of last year to this quarter, we've increased by about 45-50 persons, which represents a 30-some percent increase in clients served. A good number of those persons are people that transferred to us after Richmond Center opted not to do the social development group component. So that's part of what that is. And some of those persons, too, are also community support service people. So that's been quite an endeavor to get done. We processed 40-some people in 1 month. Took a lot of coordination, got a lot of help from Deb's office, many, many moving parts to get that together. So, and the parts are still moving. So we still have, I think, maybe 5 or 6 people that we've not been able to completely connect with who had expressed that they were interested in coming on. So we're still taking care of some of those loose ends with that. The other folks that opted not to come, some have decided that they really didn't need that level of service. A few people have gone with a different provider, kind of along that line. So I'm not aware of anybody who needed or wanted services not being in the queue to either be receiving them now or to be getting them soon. So I'm thinking that has all gone as planned. We are focusing, you know, we have work groups in the different areas. The focus of our work groups right now are on increasing billable documentation at the residential care level. We've worked on that with our supported living supervisors, our job coaches, et cetera. And what we've been doing is going out and actually sitting with staff and watching what's going on and helping them be able to extract from the plan how to document this in a billable way. We had good documentation before, just not the types of words that we really needed to use in order to be very, very clear about this was when I was working on this skill with this person. So, and I think it's been well received, and certainly been able to give our staff much more credit for the things that they do by helping them recognize that it's just not always, well, that's just what you do kind of thing. But that's primarily the focus of our current work groups. A few others we've sort of put on hold because they were more future-oriented, and there's so many pieces out there that are unknowns, that to plan for how do we deal with any expansion, how do we address future needs and things like that. It really is about looking at where we're at this point in time and moving forward with those sorts of things. So the other groups will get up and going again, I think, after the legislature gets back together and we have a better idea of where things are sitting. You can see the different community outreach things we've been working on, and there's an awful lot of activity being put out there by staff. We contacted, I believe, eight or nine new employers this quarter. And that'll get reflected also in mine and Deb's McTeam report, because I think there ended up being 18 new employer contacts and outreach educational programs done for employers that we've done. So those are perking along, and reflective with that, the average rate per hour of the consumers receiving supported employment, our goal is to try to have it be above $9 an hour, and we're at $9.14 Part of this, too, is because of seasonal employment. Some things that just happen in the summer. There are some summer-type jobs that people get to tap into, just like there are around the holidays. So we see a little bit of a bump in employment. Our employment rate right now, which our goal is 60% of persons who are interested in employment and on those roles would be employed, and we're at 70%. Still have not gotten to the 20 hours a week average. I think we're somewhere still around the 17 and change mark for that. So we keep trying to push along with that. But I'm pleased that the numbers are starting to kind of recover a little bit, because there for a while we really experienced a slump when the economy kind of felt the pinch. So those were good things. We have our daily participation in COIL, the College of Independent Learning. That's down just a little bit. And the reason for that being down is that some of the people who are involved in the COIL program have now decided to become involved in the outreach programs, the outreach groups that we kind of took over that the Richmond Center had been doing. So I think that we're going to have to start another a thing to track here that's more representative of, you know, it's not dropout, it's transfer sorts of activities. We are a little bit behind on doing our billable services at this point, but with the new, these numbers don't reflect what we've been able to do yet with the new people coming in, and we really bumped up our projection of what we would be able to do. So I'm confident that we're going to see this. Based on the last round of notes that we just read, we had very few things that we didn't feel were not able to be submitted because of quality of note or not being able to deliver the service. So we'll be back on track with that, I think, without a whole lot of effort. Let's see. Getting ready to use the website, which now that's ready. Now we have to figure out how to be ready. And I have a couple of staff people who are trying to put together stuff to go on that and for Community Life Program and keep it up and going. So we're hoping that we can have more of a presence there and an attractive way for people to get to us. You can see, too, the number of just our generic numbers of hospitalizations, hospital days, police contacts, et cetera. The jump to see in there that I think is really kind of remarkable is that there were 22 referrals in the first quarter, but 78 in the second. And that in part, and that's kind of an important number. And Deb and I will talk about that a little bit as we talk more about redesign. But those 78 referrals are, a lot of those are coming from RCFs and other programs around the state that are closing, or people are being taken out because those RCFs and other agencies aren't able, because of the size of their facilities, to do some of the Medicaid sorts of programs. The other piece that we're seeing with this is that a lot of these people are truly beyond the acuity of the person being referred. Their psychiatric symptoms, et cetera, are beyond what we feel comfortable providing services for. We don't feel that they really meet the definition of the RCF level of care, and that's universally what's happening, too, that the people who are coming out, we thought they came out quickly from hospitals before, much faster now. It seems as if what we're experiencing is that the managed care company is no longer authorizing anything more than 3 days or so for people. So people are coming out still really struggling and maybe could benefit from more inpatient sorts of care. But this number of going from 22, which is kind of in a standard around for us each quarter, to 78 is not just because of the Richmond Center folks that we brought on. Those numbers, actually, from a referral standpoint, were reflected earlier than this. But I think it's a significant shift, a real demographic that we're going to see, and kind of one of the signs of the times that we're living in.
Gayla, is this, as we look at the community-based type programs that are available to clients, with the changes that you are alluding to, are you factoring in or beginning to think about some type of plan of the various agencies that may be receiving or able to assist some of the clients in need in terms of how we can provide the best level of service over the next several months? And is that going to require, say, someone taking the lead in addressing what that is on the local level? Because I can see this, as you've already alluded to, with the closing of some of the facilities and the change that has taken place, the counties are the avenue of last resort, I suppose, but not necessarily that way. But if we can find other contractors who could assist us, then we won't have a lot of people go without service. So I guess part of what my question is this probably too early yet to determine, but hopefully we begin the process of looking to see if there are other stakeholders, other people out there that we can sit around the table and try to come up with the best way to address this as we move forward.
To answer your question, I think there's two separate avenues to address this. There's the state level. And from an RCF provider perspective, we have been in contact both through the Iowa Community Providers Association, and then we have the informal RCF providers group that meets at our agency. And we met with Director Palmer and MHDD Division, what is his title? Schultz.
Schultz.
He's not a director. What is? Division Director. Schultz, and went through, here are the ramifications of what's happened and what is going to happen, what's happening now due to redesign and the inability of counties to be able to participate to the level that they did. And I think that it is falling into a category that they're referring to as unintended consequences. And they agreed that we need to have a different level of care, different regulations drawn up that address this population, but all that takes a great deal of time. Plus, there'd have to be petitioning to Medicaid to pay for that type of service within some of the facilities. And the fact remains that a large number of the people who are in this boat don't qualify now for Medicaid, and some of them never do. It doesn't mean that they're any less needing of those services. So we just collected, Director Palmer asked me to put together information about the RCFs in the state that are actually in jeopardy. I think that the feeling was that maybe there's an overreaction on the part of counties and providers and things like this. And the report that we put together, I think, is going to be eye-opening for them. So we have an opportunity to present to them. I think that the meeting is going to be sometime in the week, either the 14th or 15th of August at our place. So, yes, we're working on trying to move it at the state level. The local level, we've met with other providers. I had a meeting with Mary Greeley, for instance, just to kind of go over what the ramifications are of not being able to necessarily take somebody new that they might get in because of our need to have a waiting list, or the fact that somebody is county funded, that if somebody shows up in the emergency room maybe who is not a person that we've already accepted into services, it'll be very challenging for them to find placement for those folks. So we have started to work with our local providers and try to come up with, what do we do about these sorts of situations, and making people, I think, right now aware of it, of what might be coming. So are there any other questions on that piece of my report? Then I have something fun.
Okay.
I do. I don't have anything as fun as a push mower, but we were one of six facilities, agencies selected for the state piloting of the oh, I can't even remember what we call it, the Employment First Grant. It has a much longer name. I'll see if I can't come up with it. Employment Initiatives for Persons with Disabilities. And it is part of the State Employment Leadership Network, the Medicaid Infrastructure, and the Employment First and the Employment EDI Grant, and the Coalition for Integrated Employment. That's why it doesn't roll off my tongue exactly. But we start that in September, and it's a grant, it's a pilot to us that we're going to use a standardized data collection system for them that VR wants to implement, also a process by which we try to help people determine what jobs they might want to do, and we find that it overlaps very nicely with the psychiatric rehabilitation process that we use. They dovetail very, very well together, so I think that'll be an easy thing to do. And there are some benchmark payments for us as we go through this. I think that in the end we'll be compensated about $25,000 for our participation in the program. But we're excited to be one of the ones out there to try to do this, so that's a good thing.
Anything else for Joe? Thank you. Okay, then moving on down, we'll have the MAC team report, and that's a combined report from both Deb and Gayla.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One comment I want to make about this report before we go into details is previous administrative rules would have required us to write up a new strategic report with new goals and have that approved by the board and by the Department of Human Services, and it go into effect then July 1st of 2012. But because of all the changes going on in the system, the legislature had decided last session that it didn't make sense to require counties to do that, so we are still operating on a plan that we put together about 3 years ago, and so we'll continue using that until we're asked to do otherwise. So we're reporting on goals that are hopefully somewhat familiar to you, and I'll start out by talking a little bit about our appeals and contracts, and then I'll address goal one, and Gayla will address goals 2 and 3. I think that's the last one. Yeah. During the reporting period, which would be January of 2012 through June of 2012, we had 4 appeals that were filed, and all were resolved at the reconsideration stage. 2 of the appeals had to do with figuring out county of legal settlement. Clients simply just don't understand that, and I can understand why. And one of the changes coming up in the next year will be moving from legal settlement to residency. But once we explained what those clients needed to do and getting the information to the right county of settlement, those appeals were resolved, and the client got the services, and the provider is able to provide those services. Then we had a couple of other appeals, one in which a client we needed an updated application. We sent them to it. They didn't return it to us so within a time frame, and so we said we would no longer fund services until we got that application. We got that resolved. Another person had some resources that need to be spent down, and once those were spent down, then the county could pick up funding for those services. So, again, things that we can just work through once we're talking with the clients. We continued to have about 65 contracts statewide for services. On to goal progress. Goal one is that the managed care team will evaluate our service delivery system for ways to stabilize and maximize funding for the services covered under our plan. The fluctuation in state funding has impacted our availability and accessibility to services, especially those that are non-mandated. So we worked on ways to stabilize that. And one of the things that we do when we do that is we engage in advocacy kinds of opportunities to talk to legislators or local stakeholders or the board or our colleagues around the state. And so I'm just going to go through what those activities included during the reporting period. In February, case management staff attended a meeting with Ames Community Schools and their special education department to talk about the different Medicaid services that were available to students while they're in school and as they're aging out of school and into adult services. We had sent a letter out to all the school districts in the county, and Ames is the only one that had responded and invited us in. So that continues to be a work in progress. We really feel it to be beneficial to all individuals involved if we can get into the schools and talk about the services. Heartland Area Education Agency has typically been a partner with us. They've went through some changes, and I believe the transition consultant that used to primarily be in the Story County area is now pulled in all different directions with different counties, and so we've sort of lost that local flavor, if you will, to in being able to rely on them for assistance. But we'll continue to work with them as best as possible. In late February, community services staff attended the Story County Quality of Life Alliance, and we shared information on what was going on with MHDD redesign, as far as what we knew at that point in time. In April, community services staff attended the Ames City Council meeting and provided an update on MHDD redesign. Of course, the City of Ames, being an asset funder, is very interested in what's going on statewide and with the services here locally, because they are a funder of disability services through the asset process. On May 22nd, we had local legislators, advocates, and providers present here at the Board of Supervisors meeting. At that point in time, the legislature had adjourned. We knew what Senate File 23 contained, and we started talking about what kind of financial position that was putting Story County in and what cuts in services would need to be considered. And then on June 11th, Community Life met with the Department of Human Services director and administrator, and representatives from Magellan Behavioral Health discussed funding and transition of services from Richmond Center clients. And Gayla went over a little more detail about how that transition went in the last about 3 or 4 months of the quarter. So those were the activities. And then our second action step is that we would continue to look at service authorizations and utilization. That's a process that continues to be in our everyday workings. You know, we really are careful about looking at what a client truly needs and then authorizing those services and units to meet those needs. So we've worked hard on closing the gap between what's authorized and what's actually utilized. And then the last action step was consumers moving out of institutional care into more community-based services, and we did not have any additional consumers that fell into this category during the reporting period. Any questions on goal one and the action steps and progress?
Thank you.
Okay, goal two was that we were going to continue supporting a service system that addresses the needs of consumers with mental health, substance abuse, and correction issues. Essentially, we're talking about the people who fall into that category, the jail diversion, the MH, criminal justice task force sorts of things. And that we continued to meet throughout this reporting period. And additionally, in May, staff from Community Services and Community Life Program were invited to participate in a jail diversion program presentation that happened up in Pottawatomie County. So we went there and shared information and got information back from the other people who are still doing this sorts of service. We also needed to look at the needs of persons who have disabilities and substance use and law enforcement issues in general. And during this reporting period, as you know, you approved an RFP to find another provider of outpatient community mental health services. And it involved asset and, you know, quite a lengthy process. And in mid-March, Ierley Ball Community Mental Health Services were awarded the contract, and they are really, they're up and going. And I think they could say they've really hit the ground running as well. So we're glad to have them up and in the circle with us. We invited local legislators in May, in February and May, to talk about the redesign, and also worked with people talking about what crisis services we need to have as a component of our mental health system. So we met with Ierley Ball, and they said that they were going to partner as part of their response to the RFP with Mary Greeley Medical Center in developing crisis services. And a nifty thing that happened, too, that will help with this crisis planning thing is that although Jerry Spencer, Detective Spencer, retired, he's been hired as a part-time mental health coordinator officer for the city of Ames. So we'll still have some of those same players being able to come together at the table as we start to flesh out what does a crisis, after-hours crisis sort of a program look like. So still a lot of discussion to be going on with that. Jail diversion, unfortunately, the funding of that has been jeopardized as a result of the redesign. Those were some of the exclusively county dollars that had to be pulled back, and persons who are in, within that program, who are already in the program, will continue to be served, but new referrals at this point are on hold unless they can be Medicaid eligible. I think it's worth a note when we talk about the redesign that jail diversion was one of the core or core plus services that the state wanted to have, and the recognition that the funding for that is 90% county dollars. And then when the dollars went back, those of us that actually had that service in place certainly lost on that. And I believe that there was a misbelief, if that's a word, that the persons who are coming out of the criminal justice system are going to automatically be eligible for Medicaid. And it's been our experience that just a handful, 5-6 people perhaps, actually easily qualified for Medicaid or had been on that program before, but the rest, for a variety of reasons, their involvement with the mental health system, et cetera, don't. So that's a sad note on that one. The third goal was that we were going to continue to educate and promote community employment for persons with disabilities. And I think that I mentioned that we, during this reporting period, I believe that we contacted 18 new employers and did, we've got a list here of the different groups that we've been involved in and the different presentations that we've done for promoting employment. And we've been, like I said, Story County's been selected to be an Employment First Leadership State Mentor Program participant. And that starts this month and ends in March of 2013. So,
great.
Goals
are
two and three.
Any other questions? Good. We'll just continue to keep our fingers crossed and hope that we will see some information regarding funding that will make all of our lives a lot easier as we struggle with the changes that have come down as a result of the redesign and where things are. So,
hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
You bet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll try to get that other information for you. Okay. Okay, moving on. Liaison assignments, Paul?
Yes.
I met with Gayla yesterday, and she pretty much covered most of what we talked about here in her report. So it was just, again, a good exchange of looking at some things. I did share with her, though, and I'll share with you, Paul, that we've had some glitches with the Heartland Transportation changeover. As you know, they were scheduled to take over operation of the Herder was scheduled to take over Heartland's operation of transportation July 1st. We were unable to get into our facility there until July 12th, and as a result, some of the dispatching issues cropped up, and there were several clients that missed appointments, missed pickups. We've been working directly, when I say we, Herta, since I chair that board, has been working directly with Heartland address some of these concerns, and we've also been working with some of the residential facilities where we've had one or two incidents crop up. But I think things now are starting to smooth out a little bit, but no one really liked to be in a situation where we were not able to provide quality transportation services immediately. But that's going to be ongoing, and we're hoping that there will be outreach to let us know if there are glitches that can be addressed. One of the changes was that I mentioned the drivers, the dial-a-ride service, we have authorized that they have a cell phone, and so that the clients that are needing that service will be able to call in the event that they are stranded or not picked up or something like that, and we could dispatch another vehicle to take care of that. So that was the only additional thing that Gail and I talked about that she didn't cover in her report. Okay, item 3 is public 13 is public comments. Items not on the agenda. Anything? Okay. Announcements, Paul?
I will not be here next Tuesday.
Okay. And with that, I will pass. Oh, let's see. No, next week is the Iowa Association of Counties. And just for your information, as being a part of the supervisor leadership team, I will be meeting as we talk about resolutions and approving what will be presented to the legislature. That will be next Thursday and Friday. You'll be back for the Friday meeting, I believe. Is that the Eldora one?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Back Wednesday.
Okay, great.
So adjournment.
Second. It's been moved and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Meeting is adjourned. Woo! And we.